attention and calls for our attention on this fourth Sunday of Easter and Confirmation Sunday as well comes to us from 1 John chapter 3, especially verse 18, where it says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Father and Ashley, brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you be from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tyler and Ashley, you're growing up in fairly uncertain times. We celebrate today that you're growing up not just in age, but in the maturity of your faith as well. But when you turn on the TV or anything lately, it seems that all the news out there is bad news. Every time our radios and our cars begin to buzz, they talk about people losing their jobs. When our TVs spark on in the morning, we hear stories that the national debt is growing and that money seems to be shrinking. We surf around the internet, behind every click is another bad news report, maybe reports of retirement earnings going away or other such things. And while all those things obviously aren't of immediate concern to you at your age, no doubt the fact that we're living in an uncertain time has caught even your attention. But today I want to suggest to you something a little bit off. And that's the fact that all of this bad news might not necessarily be so bad. No, it's not that I woke up this morning and read some secret news about how all of this economic trouble will simply be gone by the time you guys get to be adults. And then come here with news of companies hiring, debt shrinking, or money starting to grow again. What I mean today to tell you is that the reality of all of this bad news might, in fact, to those of us who know Christ, be good news. What do I mean by that? How can I figure that all of that could be good news? Well, there's no doubt that all of this news that we hear, all the stuff that's going on in our world, is creating something very real and tangible in our world. What is it that's created by all this mess that indeed can be seen by those of us in Christ Jesus as good news? Well, what's created is need. You see, every time the economy sputters, there is more and more need out there. It seems very likely that you two will continue to grow up in a world where need lives a lot much closer to you than I did when I was in your situation. Why would I say that need is a good thing? Well, because if we understand the scriptures, we find out that any need is something just waiting to be satisfied by love. And as ones who gather here in this house around God, the source of love, we are well equipped to meet that need. You see, God is love. And so every time we gather here to hear His word, or now to begin to receive His supper, we indeed receive the very love of God into us. In order that as we go out into this world filled with need, we have the answer to that need. God's been filling you up with His love ever since the day you were baptized, through His word, where you've learned what you've learned in many different places. And today, God unleashes upon you yet another way for Him to give you the love that He wants you to have in order that you can share it with others. Today, He'll place into your mouth the very body and blood of Christ for your forgiveness and for the strengthening of your faith. As you guys leave here today, as well as the rest of the congregation, you leave here, all of us, with the love of Christ inside of us. And then when we go out and find these needs in our world, we should quite naturally be drawn to that need and be able to rejoice that we have been called to serve people in need. Because as we go out and do that work of finding need and giving the love of Christ towards that need, people not only will have their needs satisfied that they know about, but they'll also come to learn of the one who equips us to do that work. It's simply how it's all supposed to work. You see, God is love. He fills us with love. We become love. We share that love where there is need. And those in need ultimately find the source of love, God Himself. John says this, "If anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, and yet closes his heart to him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." With these words, John explains to us several things about this action of taking the love that's inside of us and meeting needs with us. First, he tells us that this work is to be natural for those of us who are gathered around the source of love. The love in us should quite naturally migrate to wherever there is need. Secondly, John tells us, and this may be surprising, but that this work of meeting needs should first start among us here, in our congregation, in our Christian communities. Indeed, need within our church family should be eliminated immediately. Why is that? Well, because indeed need should not exist so close to the source of all that love. And then finally, John says that it's fine to talk about love, to extol its beauty with our tongues, but that ultimately love is meant to be done. In this case, again, actions must speak louder than words. First, like I said, John tells us that this love is to be natural in us. The first step in meeting need is not to come up with a wise plan or to be more disciplined about doing that work. The first step always when we want to do anything that God desires us to do is to first receive the love of Christ. We do that in this church, at the font, from the pulpit, at the altar. You do it in your homes or your schools or wherever you are when you pray to God or when you read His word to you. That is why your journey does not and cannot end today. Because God has all sorts of need out there in the world. And if you guys are going to be part of how He meets that need, you need constantly to be in His house where that love is given to you. At any point during your life, it seems that there's just too much need. Simply return to the source of love, and He will prove to you that there is plenty to go around. Secondly, as I said, John says that this work of love is to start among Christians. Sometimes we can overlook a need right in our midst because we want to send money, perhaps overseas, to someone that we see on television. It's actually not what John encourages. Oh, if we have plenty, we can still send money overseas. But he says first and foremost, we should take care of those that are closest to us. That may seem a little off. It might seem better that we would ignore our own needs in order to take care of others. But John understands that if we have some people in our churches that have a lot, and some that have unmet needs, and those two never seem to mingle together, the outside world is going to look in and question. They're going to question that love we talk about, and ultimately they're going to question the God that we gather around. Yes, whatever churches you guys end up in, whatever of one of our congregations you might find your way to eventually, be a voice there to say that in our congregation, in this place where we gather around God, we must first take care of one another. And then the love will simply spread from there. And lastly, John tells us that this work that we've been talking about is not just to be talked about. It's to be done. And that means that as we think about doing that work, it means that those who are in a time of need need to let go of their pride and admit that they have need. And that those that have plenty need to get rid of all their false concerns and simply admit that they have been blessed. And then those two groups of people need to come together. They need to come together even if they happen to be people that haven't gotten along in the past. God tells us that love and need are simply meant for each other. When love is shared freely, then those outside the church will begin to desire to be part of us. They will ask us how it is that they can become part of this community that they see. And in those times, we will be blessed not to try to explain everything to them ourselves, but simply to lead them to the one we gather around. We will lead them to the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life and then picked it up again. We will lead them to the one who first claimed you as his sheep many years ago. And when we lead people to Jesus, our work is over. Jesus then begins to do his work of connecting those people to himself and then also to us. There's coming a day when all need will be banished directly by Jesus when he returns. But until that day, he's left this work to his church. He's left it to us. He's left it to you to go out and to meet people's needs where they are. Whenever we consider something that God tells us to do, at times we'll find evidence that we've been doing it, because the Holy Spirit is alive in our lives. Well, just a little over a month ago, we hosted a meal for some of our neighbors who lost their house in a fire. And when we see doing things like that, we stop and give glory to God that he would work in us and through us. But when we think about God's call to meet need, if we are honest, we will also find evidence of times where we simply cling to what we have, even when unmet needs were still unmet. But thanks be to God that John also tells us what to do in those times. He tells us that if we believe in Jesus and his death and resurrection, if we believe that that was meant to forgive our sins, even when we recognize sin, we can simply go to God. As we talked about in the children's message, simply go to God and say, I'm sorry. And God will forgive us. And not only will he forgive us, he'll fill us up again with his love. And he'll send us out these church doors to meet need wherever we find it. And as we do that work, we will have the chance to share not only love, but the source of love with people. Oh, it may seem that bad news is all around. It may seem that everything's kind of going haywire. But the stories all reveal one thing. There is more need every day in our world. And for those of us that have been blessed to know the unlimited love of Jesus, and have been blessed also physically in so many ways, with so many things that bodies and souls need, more need is good news. For it means more ways to show love. It means more ways to explain to Jesus, or explain Jesus to people. It means ultimately more chances to reveal to people their ultimate need, and the answer to that need, which is Jesus. So today, as we gather for your confirmation, we rejoice in the amount of love that God has poured into you. And we rejoice that he will continue to do so your whole life long. We rejoice also that he's chosen you and each one of us to take that love that is poured into us and to give it out to others. John said, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. This is my hope for you guys today as you are confirmed in the faith which God gave you in your baptism. Because God is love. He gives that love to you and you become love. And you get to take that love and share it with others and satisfy needs. Then those in need will find out about the God that has called you. That's his plan. And by his grace, he's made you part of it. He's made all of us part of it. He fills us with love, and we meet needs. Amen.